All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, December 13th. I am Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we are going to break down a Tuesday NBA slate for FanDuel and DraftKings. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. And you can head over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system for DraftKings and for FanDuel. It helps you calculate optimal NBA lineups for both of those sites. Those projections are free for 3 days and just $29.95 a month after that. Includes our NFL projections as well, which if you don't tune in to the NFL podcast, helps someone take down, one of our users take down the DraftKings Millionaire Maker this week. So take a look at our NFL podcast if you want to hear more about that. Anyway,
the basketball system is undefeated in for cash games in that time since too as well, right?
Oh, correct. Yeah, we've just been crushing. So even faded a Rudy Gay injury last night, which I don't need to get too crazy into this, but whatever. Anyway, so free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. I think it's about the best deal that you'll find in the entire business, so go check it out. Let's break down what's going on in the NBA today, coming off a pretty nice stretch of over the weekend and into yesterday with the basketball system. Today's a little bit of a weirder slate. There's just a bunch of slower, pretty defensively minded teams going. Got a couple potential blowouts in the cards, really kind of all ready to start. Let's start with point guard. I mean, there's really pretty much start and stop with Westbrook at this point. Like, I don't really, I'm running out of ways. I don't know, like, you know, you and I kind of switch back and forth who writes the basketball picks on a nightly basis, and then we have a couple other writers that fill in as well. But for the most part, James and I handle a majority, 75%, let's say, of the content that goes up for our basketball projections, our basketball articles. At this point, I don't know about you, I'm running out of ways to, like, make the case for Westbrook. Like, I don't know, like, there's really just nothing else to say really at this point. Like, I don't know if you've had the same problem when it's your night and he shows up in the projections.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is with Westbrook that he just averages about 5 times points per dollar on these prices in terms of his fantasy performance, so around 60 points a game. And that's just a huge amount of fantasy points to get that you can just lock in on a nice high price point. And so basically when he's in a league average matchup or a little bit better than a league average matchup, he's going to be a play. And Portland this season been about league average against opposing point guards in terms of fantasy points per game allowed. And really, I think that the more interesting thing is the matchup with Lillard in particular, because we see this with guys who are kind of improving on the defensive end where they can really make a lot of gains against sort of inferior competition. But a transcendent athlete like Westbrook, like Lillard, just can't chase him around. No. And, you know, we start relying more on the pace of the game overall. Portland this season playing the 9th fastest pace in the league means that Westbrook is going to just be a fantastic play on a pretty short slate here.
Well, and that's the thing with like defensive versus position stats and why they're just a little tricky to handle in general is because it really doesn't, it kind of almost at times depends on the player, right? Like Westbrook, it kind of doesn't matter at times. It really only matters, like you said, the pace of the game, right? Because nothing that Lillard is going to do isn't going to stop him from getting rebounds, let's say, right? And like these weak side rebounds that he just has some kind of like crazy like Dennis Rodman like vision for like where these rebounds are going. And that just like that kind of whatever Lillard does, or if they stick McCollum on him, which they probably will at times in certain switches, or they might even just like dedicate more of McCollum to him anyway. But it just kind of like doesn't matter. So you're right. Like I think for Westbrook, it really just is a pace of game thing more than it's like whoever is going to be trying to speed bump him and, you know, once they cross over half court, because he just does too many things. And so really the only question on FanDuel, because there's it doesn't take as much of the cap and you have a couple other ways to wiggle around salary, he's just an every lineup guy. It's a little different on DraftKings. He's 25% of your overall cap. He's up to 12.7 there. I'm not sure if we're ever going to see a player, and maybe we haven't, I just can't remember, get up to 13,000. If there's anyone that's going to do it, it's going to be him.
On DraftKings, you mean?
On DraftKings specifically. 25% of your cap for one player really means it all has to go right, right? And you're going to need some other cheap players. At what point do you think, like right now when I run a couple quick optimal lineups, he's not showing up on DraftKings. Now, again, this is early in the day, and sometimes you get some cheap guys that come in there that can help you just sort of round out and smooth out some of his salary concerns. But at what point do you think we just get to the breaking point where he's just too much of your cap and it is just too risky for cash games?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes it depends on the size of the slate, right? So, you know, on shorter slates like this, you start to really get diminishing returns among playing those sort of minimum-priced guys where the first couple can be pretty reasonable, but after that, you're starting to play like backups and, you know, just kind of bums at every position. Or you make an even bigger mistake, which is you get, you know, say two $6,500 guys who have as good or better multipliers than Westbrook, and you skimp on those guys where you know, you shouldn't. And then all of a sudden you get a guy who whose minutes are really up in the air. Maybe he winds up playing 14 minutes. And while Westbrook still scores his 60, that other guy scores 8. And you could have gotten, you know, 40 each from the other two or whatever. So, yeah, I think you can push it too far on the price. And, you know, DraftKings, which is much, much tighter pricing and also multi-position eligibility, means it's often less correct to just pay up for the most expensive guy.
Yeah, and I agree. I think at times taking just a more balanced approach over there does pay, because you can just grab these $8,000 guys who see, you know, 33 to 36 minutes a game and are, you know, enough part of their team's just plan, or just in terms of, you know, what they can get done on the fantasy end. But it can be hard staring down the barrel at those lineups at times, because you're like, but I don't have Westbrook, right? And like, that's where your brain is just kind of totally occupied with this one. And I definitely know that feeling, and I felt it before myself, where I'm just like, well, this lineup looks fine, except it doesn't have Westbrook in it. And yeah. It's going to be very difficult for me to watch this OKC game and just be sweating out every single rebound and assist and, you know, point that he gets, that it just seems to happen on every single possession. But yeah, DFS is all about price, and at some point you just really need to factor that in. So, like I said, FanDuel, it's pretty much locked up at this point. Nothing's really going to change for him in there. DraftKings will be a tale of what sort of happens throughout the day in terms of value. And there is a couple different value plays that we can take a look at going into today. Otherwise, besides him at point guard, and the other guy I wrote up was Irving. Now, Kyrie's weird. He's like a price guy going the other direction. He's down to 7,000 on FanDuel. Some of that is because Cleveland's played in some weird games. He has not been scoring a ton lately, and I think we've seen some of the price drop because of that. At what point do we go the other way with a guy like Kyrie, where the price is just getting too low and it kind of doesn't matter the matchup? Like, he places Memphis in a possible blowout game tonight. At what point is the price on him getting just too low?
Well, it's tough to say with Kyrie. I mean, Cleveland is such a weird team because they have such a plethora of options at the high money levels. And so, like, you look at Kyrie's shots per game on the season, and you're at 19 shots per game. But in the last four games, he's been under that. And it's not even like he's been shooting poorly. Like, he made 50% of his shots against Toronto, 53% against the Knicks, 60% against Miami, and then he had a bad game against Charlotte. But, you know, there were two blowouts sprinkled in there. The minutes didn't really show up in either of those games. And this is going to be kind of the case with Cleveland. Like, they're very willing and able to sit their guys when the games get out of hand. And so that's kind of the price you pay for investing in any of the guys on the Cleveland lineup. And when things are going well, Kyrie is a guy that definitely loses a little bit of the action. So I think you want to be a little bit cautious deploying him, frankly. Like, you know, you see 3 or 4 games at 5x points per dollar in his last 10, but that's really not where you want to be if you're really trying to lock in safety. So, well, I think the value is there, right? Like, if Memphis manages to keep this game close, I think Kyrie will pay value. But I'm just not convinced that, you know, whatever they did against Golden State notwithstanding, that Memphis really shows up for this one.
Yeah, he's just so scoring dependent. The assists are down a little bit this year with they're running the offense almost completely through LeBron. He's just not going to get those point guard. He doesn't have the point guard upside in the fact that he just doesn't see a lot of other production outside of scoring. So if the scoring isn't there, or if, like, you know, they go to Love earlier, they exploit some other matchup, which Cleveland's really, really good at doing, just finding the weakness on the other team and just kind of going at that point over and over and over again, just to death. That can be the death of Kyrie, because if he doesn't score, he's kind of dead. You know, a couple other value guys on the slate. I don't mind Rondo. Rondo's been sort of an up and down kind of guy when he's not throwing towels at assistant coaches and stuff. he's not a safe guy in the sense that he's had some truly abysmal games. Like, I think he's got like a 4-point fantasy game in there and like a 14-point game. Which are pretty troubling if you're thinking about rostering him at like 6,000 on FanDuel. But I think the minutes are there for against the Timberwolves tonight. And I just kind of don't see a lot of other real cheap value coming in on the point guard side of things.
Yeah, I think Rondo's a fair play. I mean, I was just waiting for him to get his swagger back. That's my Jay-Z impression. And he did against the Spurs. You know, he went out there, had his kind of Rondo-ish near triple-double. Really paid the price quite handily. Miami's a really, really tough matchup. I think he's back. I think he's a great play against Minnesota.
Yeah, he's another guy too. Like, he's sort of the opposite of Kyrie in the sense that he scores his points in a variety of different ways, and that is good news if you're just going to be on the court for a while, because you don't need to worry about them just kind of getting him corner threes, which is something that he's sort of resorted to at times on offense, or just like pull-ups, like, you know, short lane pull-up jumpers. He rebounds the position really, really well. When things are going right, he will throw in the assist. So I see his floor is much higher than Kyrie's, just because he just creates his points in more ways, and that's just a better thing if you're looking for safety. A couple other guys out there. I mean, I think people might talk themselves into Derrick Rose in a fast game against Phoenix. I don't think I'm going to go there tonight. The other guy's Curry against the Pelicans. Curry's pretty cheap on DraftKings. He's only 8,400. Do you see this as a bounce back game for the Warriors? And we'll kind of get that more into the Warriors like further down in the positions. But you know, do you see them kind of sort of bouncing back against the Pelicans tonight?
Oh yeah, I mean they're not going to lose to this Pelicans team, I wouldn't think. The bigger question is, does that make them a safe fantasy commodity based on the perceived game script, the old chip on the shoulders problem, and the fact that they're just so much better talent wise than the Pelicans? So really, that's really the externality I'm scared of when they're up by 20 going into the fourth quarter or whatever.
Yeah, you get such a nice savings for him on DraftKings. I think that I probably will end up playing him in most cash game lineups and just kind of hopefully not sweating out the blowout, or even if sweating out the blowout. 8,400 for Curry, that's just a good price. And it's 4,000 less than Westbrook. So like if you think he's
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right. So like I'm not comparing him and Westbrook like straight up against each other, but if you think Curry's like 25-30% of what Westbrook, 70-75% of what Westbrook is, then you're just getting phenomenal value there. So again,
scored 60 fantasy points against him in their last meeting earlier this season. So, you can't rule out him just absolutely going off. Interesting note, Vegas sees this as a less sided contest than the Cleveland game. So with them only being 10-point favorites, maybe the game doesn't get out of hand. I don't know.
Yeah, New Orleans is getting that home court bump. Never know really what to make of that. But that's the reason that's not like a 17-point spread, I think. Like I think that would be 15 if it was in Golden State.
Sure.
Shooting guard tonight. Man, shooting guard is not easy tonight. There's guys like Clay, again, which kind of falls into that Curry camp of you're getting value. Can you just kind of fade the blowout? And that's going to be probably the story with most of Golden State. I don't mind a guy like Booker. The problem with Booker has been he just doesn't play enough anymore. Like Phoenix is just going back down the rabbit hole of, hey, we're just going to play our guys like 29 minutes a game. And now some of that's been blowout. And he did play big minutes last game against, I think it was the Kings. But he was able to play, against New Orleans. He was able to play 33 minutes in regulation because that game went to overtime. What do you do with the Phoenix situation now? Where outside of like Bledsoe, I guess none of their starters are really playing anywhere in what I would consider to be safe minutes.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And on the same token, the upside is still there, right? Like if Booker does go out there and play high 30s, mid 30s minutes, we've seen him pay this price and then some. So, on short slates, it's so tough to know where we should give up expectation for safety, right? I do think that, our projection system right now, we have him at 32 minutes projected. That seems somewhat reasonable to me, even though he didn't hit that against the Lakers, Pacers, and Jazz, but did hit it in his most recent game. I'm willing to sort of trust the what have you done for me lately in that regard. But yeah, it doesn't feel good.
After him, what else are you seeing popping out to you as shooting guard? I had a little trouble with this position.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fournier is a pretty reasonable gamble here. He played 38 minutes his last time around, 24, 4, and 6. Shot 19 times from the field, which you really like to see because he is rather scoring dependent at the shooting guard position. And I think what's more, I think his role is more secure than a lot of these other options that many people are going to consider. I mean, let's be real, the options just aren't great, the ones you're going to roll through tonight. One guy that might be interesting, although he's not terrific on a points-per-minute basis, is Anthony Morrow. My suspicion is that Oladipo will miss the game tonight, and which, by the way, probably makes Westbrook even more attractive. Just whatever more usage he can possibly get, I think he'll get it. But Morrow is a good shooter, and if he's going to take over kind of the role of standing on the outside and shooting when passed to, I think he can accommodate a $3,500 salary pretty easily. But, while it's not super, super safe probably because he is such a low usage player in general, just literally can't create his own shot, I do think that if he just goes out and plays 30, 35 minutes, he'll easily pay the price.
Yeah, that's really the story with him is if he's going to get 30 minutes, it doesn't really matter. Kind of at 3,500, like he can just – you just have to trust it basically. Those are the situations you're looking for. I don't think Oladipo is going to play. I probably should have mentioned that earlier. With Fournier, I'm a little more tied, and this is another theme of just sort of what we're looking at today. Fournier's production for me is a little more tied to Vucevic only because those minutes for him came because the Orlando rotations kind of got a little crazy because the big guy sat out. So that kind of is a theme all the way down with Orlando tonight. It makes a big difference if he doesn't play again. Fournier is versatile enough that he's able to kind of switch between the two and the three, so they're able to keep him on the court for longer than say like a guy like Aaron Gordon. Who I thought was going to see huge minutes last game, but he just didn't. Mm-hmm. Still only played 22. So anyway, that, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold out a little bit of judgment on guys like Fournier just to see if Vucevic plays again tonight. I don't think he's going to personally, but which is great news for just Magic value. But anyway, so I guess there are a couple more options at shooting guard than I thought. At small forward, to me, it's all Durant. Durant's seen a price drop in the short term, just based, but it's been some like weird wonky stuff that's happened with him. There's been a bunch of blowouts. He's played some really slow teams in the short term. Like he's played Memphis, the Clips, who are a good defense, and
the Jazz.
Yeah. And there was like one other team I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but there's been, if you look at, you can look at the game log on Durant and be like, oh, 38, 33, 43. This guy's just not paying. Right. But then you play, oh, the Timberwolves, right? So you play the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, the Jazz, the Clippers. That's just like not really where you want to be fantasy wise, playing against guys like that. And if you get a combination of, you know, there's a context to why maybe the game logs don't look that great and the price drops, I think I'm going to be rostering Durant at about 100% both sides tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a very reasonable attempt to try and spend up at a spot other than Westbrook, because again, you're not comparing them apples to apples, right? You're getting Durant at $2,600 cheaper. And that's that. The money actually, it makes a much bigger deal on smaller slates to save up than on bigger slates, because on bigger slates, you might have more options to, you know, kind of spread the money out and get good value all over the place. But on smaller slates, that's $2,600 really winds up making a bigger difference. So, yeah, I think he's a great play.
Yeah, after him, small forward was – I almost like wrote an apology in the picks last night because I just couldn't – there was just so few options at this position tonight of like anyone that was even safe. I know I kind of said that about shooting guard, but it's not even, it's really not a comparison. It's really the small forward thing is a real issue. Like just looking at the list, I mean, the bigger money guys like LeBron is tough to pay for against Memphis, and Butler, it's not a fantastic matchup against Minnesota. Melo against Phoenix, I mean, it's a good matchup, but it's hard to trust him in terms of usage when they're fully healthy. I wrote up Andrew Wiggins mostly because he was a mid-range guy that just plays minutes. I don't even love the matchup, especially if Butler's going to be kind of tailing him around for a decent amount of the game. But at some point, you know, for $5,900 on FanDuel, you kind of just get a lot of safety in the fact that he's going to play 35 minutes sort of like in the worst situation and maybe 40 in the best if the game stays close. So I think, do you know, does that make sense to sort of at that point just pay for minutes? I think that's what you're kind of doing with Wiggins.
It might. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable case to be made for Wiggins. Although I think for me, like early returns and all, but I think I would actually be thinking about going a little bit cheaper here. Like I wonder if we go in a direction like Tabo Cephalosha. You know, he's still been playing Korver's minutes basically in 32, 29, and 29 minutes in the last three games and paid, you know, 6x or better on the price. I think actually I would be leaning just a little bit cheaper and going in that direction.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that Bazemore comes back tonight. I'd be more interested in Cephalosha if I knew Bazemore wasn't going to play. It's not a direct cut into his minutes, but it just adds another sort of like small forwardy type to the Hawk rotation. So that's the only thing that would concern me about Thabo. I really wish Aaron Gordon, like I said, with Vucevic, when he didn't play last game, I really thought Aaron Gordon was going to finally see some minutes and just didn't. Like he was good. He ended up being fine on the price, but he still just saw, they just don't want to play the guy. Like they start him and then he just had play him 24, 22 minutes. Like it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know what,
That was a pretty big red flag for me too. Whenever Tony Allen's another guy like this, but
right.
When more opportunity opens up and that player doesn't see any of it, that's never a good sign. It just means the team doesn't really trust him or really have. That means there's no minutes upside. Basically, it means right now there's almost no situation where they can picture putting Aaron Gordon in there for 35 minutes, and that's really where you wind up really getting huge payoffs from a punt. Like you have some baseline projection, you're like, Aaron Gordon will probably play 26 minutes, but then if things are going well, maybe he plays 34. You just know that you can't get that from him, so that makes him a much more dicey investment from my perspective.
My issue with him tonight, too, and this is going to be tricky, is that he was good on 22 minutes, and a lot of people will look at that and be like, this dude paid 6x last game in the same situation, so I'm going to go there again. And I just like – I hate situations like that because you sort of like – our system won't because it's just not going to like look at that last game and think that it's good enough, like in terms of minutes. But then you run the risk of it, like him being like sort of a chalk play that you missed on if he's good again. Does that make sense? What I'm saying? Like that's where I get a little worried about. This happens with Jokic all the time too. Like he was a 50% start on Denver last night, on FanDuel last night, coming off the bench for Denver. We just can't project him for like more than 25 or 26 minutes. He was great. He scored like 50 fantasy points in that time. but it's just so hard when the minutes aren't there. You know, projection systems that require just math inputs aren't going to see it. So I can see Gordon being like a chalk play if Vucevic sat again, and I just worry that our system won't pivot to it. Roberson's another guy that comes in cheap, especially if like Oladipo weren't to play. They can probably need to keep him on the court a little longer for defensive purposes. So he's another guy that just sucks, basically, in terms of fantasy. He's a great defender, obviously, but he just like he's a hard guy. He needs to be out there.
You're never excited to see him in
the lineup. He needs to be out there for every single minute for him to hit value, and he just kind of has to have the ball bounce his way enough. So a small forward, a little bit tough tonight. On power forward, you know, Anthony Davis at 12,000 on FanDuel, is the blowout risk sort of just like too much for him to really think about rostering? Like, because you basically can't roster Westbrook, Durant, and Davis. So if that was the case, would you rather go pay a little less for Durant and have his side of the ball, or can you pay up for a guy like Davis tonight at 12,000?
I mean, I think you can pay up for Davis if that's where your heart leads you. He's been great in the other two games against Golden State. He scored 77 fantasy points against them in the second game of the season, and then 50 in the other game. So I think he's a very solid play. He is expensive, you know, 12,000 for a guy in a game with some blowout risk is not always where you want to be. But I don't think, I mean, the thing you like about him over Durant, and again, you're paying 1,900 more for him, so it can't ever be an apples to apples comparison in that aspect. But the upside is just so much higher on Davis. You know, he's going to touch 60 frequently. He's going to dip up to 70, and with all the mouths to feed in Golden State, you're not going to get that from Durant. So, especially if other good punts burble to the surface, I can definitely see prioritizing Westbrook and Davis over Westbrook and Durant.
I think a decision a lot of people will have tonight that it'll come down to trying to decide is between Kristaps and Draymond on FanDuel at least. Kristaps is 8,000. He's coming off in a huge game against the Lakers. Now, I did mention this about that performance. He put up 58 fantasy points. A lot of that was built on the 7 blocks that he had, which just aren't going to happen again. And so, like, the rest of his line was great, too. Don't get me wrong. 26, 12, and 2. That easily hits value at these prices just on its own. But the 58 points really, the top end upside comes from the fact that he had 16 points through blocks and steals. And that's just, he's just not a favorite to repeat that kind of performance. If you were to pick right now, Kristaps versus the Suns or Draymond versus the Pelicans, around the same price on FanDuel, which direction would you go?
I would probably go in the direction of Porzingis. I think Draymond, again, he's too susceptible to all the mounts problem in Golden State. Mm-hmm. And I think Kristaps also just has a transcendent matchup. Like Phoenix, they still play fast and they still play bad. So there's a top five. Well, they both have great matchups. The Pelicans and Suns are actually clustered at fourth and fifth in the league in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing power forwards this year. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's the old six in one hand, Doug. You know how that saying goes.
We have a joke that James says that saying all the time, and I just pretend to never know what it means. So that's the dumb.
Yeah, now you're all caught up. But yeah, so six in one hand, a half dozen in the other. And, you know, given that they're the same price, I'll take the safety of Porzingis' minutes and what rates to be a closer game, I guess.
Yeah, and I think Porzingis will just be the more popular play also, which is actually what I think.
Yeah, that matters.
I think Draymond is a great tournament pivot here, because around the same price, if you think you can put together a lineup and get separation on, you know, more people playing Porzingis, because both of their matchups are great, and they're both like sort of in that same range. So I love pivoting to Green in terms of tournament play here, especially too because he's a tick cheaper than Porzingis each time, so both on FanDuel and DraftKings, so you can just make the exact same lineup and just pivot him in there, and I think they're both in great spots, and you'll get separation on Draymond if Porzingis just turns in not as great a night as we kind of expect.
Well, worth noting, I think the difference in spread here at a 3-point spread in the Phoenix New York game, I think that is material because it could lead to more possessions. You know, potentially overtime seems much more likely in a game with that spread, so all those factors lead me to believe that Porzingis is that much safer, to where even if one guy was a hair better than the other in terms of absolute projection, I would just play Porzingis.
And I just think he's going to be chalk too. Like, I think he'll be, people will easily look. It's a situation where the situation for him and the matchup is great, and he has the game log piece of it that people look back at. So whenever you have those two things combined, you get pretty high ownership. After him, in the Magic theme, if Vucevic were to sit again, Ibaka is another great play. He played huge minutes last game when he sat, and that was. And I actually did a bunch of research on this leading into that game, because I wanted to know where the Magic rotations were going to go, and that just seemed to me, I just really bumped Ibaka's minutes a lot because I thought he was just going to end up seeing the court a ton. He did 35, which is about as high as he's seen minutes-wise all year. He only had 37 fantasy points on 22-4. I really think that is like the very floor for him if he plays these kind of minutes again, right? Like, I think that the rebounding just didn't happen to materialize in a way that I... that he usually will if he just ends up, like, if he plays 35 minutes 100 times, four rebounds, I think, is the lowest he's ever going to see. And the shots were, but the shots at 17 were reasonable. So I think that if this is another situation again where the big guy's out, I'm happy to run Ibaka in every lineup. We ran him in every lineup last game on these prices, and nothing really has changed for me. I love him if he's going to just see the court a ton again.
Yeah, I love him too. I think it's splitting hairs a little bit, but I do think 17 shots is significantly on the high end. Like, that's, he's only got one other game more than that this season, so I don't think that that's necessarily sustainable, but I agree that if he goes down to 15 shots but adds six rebounds, then you're still feeling happy. So we're on the same page.
Well, just real quick about that, not to like argue these like micro points, but I'm going to, is that he also sees a significant usage bump when Vucevic isn't on the court too. Like, the query we ran on that was that, you know, when they play on the court together, he sees less shots. And so he was going to stand to be in his normal usage without him, and then gets a bump when he doesn't have to share the court with him as well. So I actually don't think that's 17. I actually think that might even, not low, but it doesn't seem like an outlier anywhere close to an outlier for me on him.
Outlier is perhaps too strong a word, but I guess like I wouldn't just lock it in as like a guarantee that he shoots at least 17 shots. That's my point.
Okay. Disagree. I'll take the over.
You're wrong.
Georgie Deng is interesting on a minutes perspective, and the old never have gotten him right as the theme for Deng. But he should see minutes against Chicago, who have a couple big guys that they're going to need to keep him out on the court for, you know, more versatile big guys, and Deng can guard multiple positions. So I think that if Ibaka we lose Ibaka because of Vucevic, I don't mind going to Deng at 5,500 on FanDuel and just holding
him. Daring you to play him. I mean, 5,500, we've seen him be a good play on 6,600 in the past. So while the usage really hasn't been there as much recently, and somehow the rebounding is not as good as it used to be, right. He's a guy that was topping 35 fantasy points with regularity earlier this season. So who knows? Things probably have fundamentally changed for him a little bit, but I still think he has a good high floor.
For the first time in human history, FanDuel double power forward doesn't seem like a total abomination that I hate. There's a couple different options here. Yeah. You know, the thing with Deng is rebounding. One of the reasons that the rebounding hasn't been there as much in the short term is that Towns has been an absolute elite rebounder, at least of late. His rebounding totals in the last five games, 18, 12, 11, 14, 15. And then he had an 8 game, and then he had 18. So his rebounding rate has not spiked, but has significantly increased in the short term, where he's just getting to the boards more. I don't know if it's a situation where Minnesota's playing slightly differently, or they're sort of working him into different spaces on the court, finding just like better matchups for him. But what do you think of Towns tonight against a Chicago team that's not great at defending the interior?
Well, Towns is one of these guys that when he smells blood in the water, he just starts killing people. Like, right. He did this against Golden State in their last game, just throwing up 18 rebounds. He had an 18 rebound game against the Knicks and 47 points too. So I agree with you. I think that the Bulls don't really have the athleticism down low to chase him around. Like, Lopez is one of these max effort guys who can be a decent defender in the right spot, but I don't think this is the right spot, and I think he's terrific here.
Towns might be on the outside looking in just in terms of price today, because we do have a significant amount of just like nicely priced options. He's a guy that I like a little bit more on DraftKings if I'm going to take a middling approach to my lineups over there. Like, if I'm not going to roster Westbrook, he kind of falls into that Curry camp of not that expensive, but you can get elite upside on him. So he's only 8,600 on DraftKings. You can round out your lineup with a couple of guys like this on DraftKings tonight, and that's sort of like the way you can get away from a guy like Westbrook or Davis or some of these huge, huge money guys, right? Is that if you grab a Curry for 8,000 and a Towns for 86, and then you kind of populate the rest of your lineup through high minute floor guys, that is the way you can sort of stomach a fade. I really like his price over there, especially too. He gets an extra bump on DraftKings for especially the center position because he shoots so many threes, and you get that extra point for the threes. You get the double-double bonus from Towns. That makes him, to me, he's much more in play over on DK than he is on FanDuel. After him at center, do you see some? Is there another place I can pay up? Do I want to go a little cheaper here tonight? What do you think about center?
I think there's other cheap options that I kind of like. The two I'm eyeballing most carefully are Biombo and Rolo.
Yeah.
If you want to YOLO with Rolo, you can go in that direction. I see Lopez as the safer of the two, frankly. I mean, he just kind of tops 20 fantasy points every night with regularity, you know, between the 4.4 to 6x range on these prices. And while Minnesota has flashy, like, big-name guys down low, they don't actually depress opposing scoring all that much. So I I don't mind him whatsoever. I think Biombo's also interesting, again, if Vucevic is out. If Vucevic is out, then Biombo just might be an every lineup guy.
Yeah.
But if Vucevic is back, obviously that makes things trickier because he's just a better player than Biombo, and the Magic are sort of inexplicably playing Biombo anyway, so that's always been a risk to Biombo's playing time. But yeah, if Vucevic is out, then Biombo, for me, probably just goes into every lineup.
Yeah, the problem with Biombo, the only problem I have with Biombo tonight, even if he were to get the start, is that he's going to have problems with Dwight down low. Biombo is a foul trouble guy, and this is not a good matchup for opposing centers. The Hawks are just a pretty good interior defense, all things considered. And so that's the only thing that makes me a little worried on him, even at that price. The price has climbed up to 4,800, so he's not like, he's no longer a punt. He's just like a lower middle tier kind of guy now. He's not going to be able to score against Dwight. He just really can't score anyway. And there's just no reason that the Magic to kind of feed him the ball on the interior at all with that matchup. So I'm a little worried about that. Like, even if he were to get a majority of the minutes, there's just there's a lot of ways that can go wrong for him, even at those prices. So I don't know if I'd lock him into an every lineup guy, but that's a situation I'll probably take a deeper dive on going forward. And then you get a guy like Mason Plumlee. 6,000. He was awesome last night against the Clippers. He went for 18, 7, 6, 5 blocks. The problem with Plumlee typically is you just can't, like, he's a pretty versatile center. Like, he passes really well for the position. He can score at times in the right matchup. The problem for him is that Terry Stotts just runs different rotations, and he will just see 26 minutes as soon as he can see 34. How much does that affect how you view Plumlee in terms of, like, his safety?
I mean, for me, it affects it greatly, right? Like, at that point, he becomes pretty much a tournament play only, because if he goes out there on 6,000 and just scores 18 or 20 fantasy points, you've just lost already, and that's not where you want to be for cash games, especially when I think there are safer guys, and particularly guys in kind of newer situations like Biombo without Vucevic or, Towns in a good matchup. So, yeah, I don't think Plumlee's where I'm going to wind up landing for cash game purposes.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you, too. There's a bunch of interesting just plays tonight. I think we have Westbrook and Durant sort of at that top end, but there's a lot to consider here for a somewhat short slate. Make sure that you are checking news leading up until lock. And if you want to just get covered by someone else that's monitoring all news and making all the adjustments, you can sign up for our free 3-day trial to our NBA projection system powered by Lineup Lab, where we are taking just about every relevant NBA detail into account with our projections. We've had incredible success with NBA this season, and we're really proud of the work we do over there. So you can grab a free 3-day trial, and then it's just $29.95 a month after that. If you want some just proof in the pudding testimonials, head over to our chat room and just ask, hey, is the NBA product worth it? And our users will be honest with you, and they will tell you it is, and you'll sign up, and we're all good to go. So dailyfantasysportsrankings.com is a site, dfsr.com for short. We'll be back again on Thursday talking more NBA. Buddy, talk to you then.
Yeah, buddy. See you soon.